Audioversity, the voice of Reichman University.
Bottoms Up, the stories behind your favorite drinks with Shiri Epstein and Alan Frieder.
Here in Audioversity, the voice of Reichman University 106.2 FM. I'm your host, Shiri, and I'm here with my co-host and favorite drinking partner, Alan.
Hey, everyone.
So today we have a... Wait, disclaimers.
Disclaimers. Very important.
Drink responsibly.
Do not drink and drive.
Drink only of legal age.
And we're not encouraging abuse of alcohol or any substance at all. Do not follow our examples.
Do not. Today's episode is actually going to be... It's kind of on... We kind of came up with it very randomly, but I think it's a good episode.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
I think a lot of people won't know a lot about this, so it's going to make it very interesting.
I'm very excited.
I am also very excited. So we're going to talk about alcohol in Rwanda, which is... Yeah. Which is random.
Very.
And to help us along and to get us to understand the drinking culture and the alcohol, so we have today our favorite guest. Well, and, I shouldn't say favorite, but our most special guest.
No, he's our favorite non-drinking partner.
He is our favorite non-drinking partner.
Kado?
Hi, Kado.
Is my mic on to
Your
begin
mic
with?
Is on.
It's been on all this time. Hey, everyone.
Kado might have been in an episode, like he was in the studio while we were recording a different episode and his mic was off the whole time.
Yeah, that's why I quit radio.
Welcome back then.
This is flashbacks for me.
But at least this time you're sitting on the opposite end and you don't have to do anything with the radio.
Thank God. Yeah.
So, Kadom's 23 from Rwanda, and I didn't introduce that. I think it's an important thing to let you guys know where we're bringing our person from. And this episode kind of came up because we were talking about alcohol with Kadom, who does not drink.
Yeah.
And I asked him what's the most popular alcohol in Rwanda, and... Here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are.
So, the legal age in Rwanda is 18.
The most popular alcoholic drink, it's a banana beer brewed locally near Rubavu.
Yeah, that's where it is. Well, basically, it's made all over the country, but that's where they make, like, the best one. You know?
The best kind.
Good kind.
Did Alan pronounce it correctly?
That place, yeah, but it's called Urugwagu. I don't know if you'll ever be able to pronounce it.
Urugwagu.
That's better.
We're trying our best here. We don't want to offend anybody with our horrible pronunciation, specifically mine.
Yeah.
You should see my pronunciation in Hebrew.
The cheaper of the two local brands is Primus, which comes in 700 milliliter bottles.
And the alternative is Mutzig, which it's a little different. And it's 30% more expensive and comes in either 700 milliliter bottles or 350.
So, as happens in many countries that are third world countries, just like Venezuela and Bolivia, alcohol is a burden on society and on the people and on the well-being of the people in Rwanda.
Yeah. But I feel like it's different from back home because it was even in our culture, you know.
Is it cultural to get drunk?
Yeah, it's cultural. We even have proverbs in our culture, like one that says, like, which means, like, there is no alcohol without someone who's not invited, you know. And from our hangouts, we have a lot of, you know.
Well, we'll talk about, leave that for the stories.
Yeah. So, but basically, even before, like, Rwanda was introduced to, like, the Western culture, we had, like, our own local beers, and it was a big thing, like, party and everything, yeah.
All right. So the beers you told us are made with bananas.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. I don't think I've ever really even thought about beers made from banana. Like, it's such a random
fruit. So
technically,
cool.
You can brew beer out of everything.
That's true, but have you ever thought about a banana? Like, it's something that, like, you hear and you're like, really? Wait,
yeah,
really?
Okay, fine. Never a banana. Yeah. That would have never crossed my mind.
But
never.
I never knew that it was made out of banana, you know. First of all, I'm from the city, you know. Basically, it's like something is made from somewhere and then someone living in Tel Aviv, they wouldn't know. So I didn't know also, but, like, in, like, events, like, big events, I would see it, people drinking it, but I wouldn't know. So when I was, like, a tour guide.
Wait, no. Story. There's a story segment.
Yeah, but that's how I discovered
yes,
how it was
stories,
made.
Stories. It's fine.
Stories.
We'll talk
stories
about it later. In stories. So the... Who?
World Health Organization.
The WHO.
No. World Health Organization.
AKA the WHO.
Oh,
data
yeah.
shows that Rwanda is 7%...
There is a 7% prevalence of alcohol.
Yeah.
And a 2.5% of a dependence in alcohol, actually.
Which is, it's pretty high.
Yeah.
2%?
2.5. Alcohol dependence, it's a level of addiction that it's...
It's like to the point that you can't function without drinking.
Yeah.
2.5%?
That's a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Of drinkers?
That's
getting
dependent more.
On it?
No. Here's the thing. We're not talking about alcoholics. We're talking about alcohol dependency.
Oh, that's
that your
different.
Body literally shuts down if it's not drunk.
Oh, okay.
Which is 2.5% is like a huge amount.
Well, learn something from my country now.
So you guys have an alcohol problem.
Yeah, I have to fix it.
Alcohol per capita consumption is relatively high in Rwanda compared to other African countries in the region.
I'm proud of that. That's my God.
Alcohol harms the youth. It's observable almost 60% of youth between 15 and 19, which is under legal age. Kinda.
Yeah.
Who use alcohol by binging on it, which means they consume it
regularly
and
for
more
long
than
periods
it,
of time.
Yeah.
Which is something that we've personally I've done it.
Not recommended.
Yeah.
The fact that 60% of youth is such a huge amount, followed this by over half of the population over the age of 15 have binged on alcohol, which I think this is shocking to me how like bad it is, because I thought it was bad in like South America.
I just think that the statistics are slightly biased. Yeah.
They might be. They might be skewed.
I thought it was biased until you say 60% of the youth, and I'm like, that is true. You know?
Think
so,
it could be realistic?
But also, like, according to things that I've heard and like things that I've seen when I was young in high school and all that, it might slightly like be possible. But also, like, we have high tolerance of alcohol. Like,
right.
People that I don't know.
Well,
for binge drinking, that's
if
what
you're binge
get from
drinking,
it.
You have to.
Yeah,
have...
so it's not. You can't see it when people are not drinking. Like,
right.
It just seems normal.
Right. Rwanda, despite all the harm that comes from alcohol, does not actually have any alcohol policies and laws.
Only the legal drinking age.
Yeah. Which, if 15-year-olds can get alcohol to drink it on a binge, I feel like it's kind of like South America, where laws don't mean anything.
There is one law. I don't think it's an... you got it. It's like alcohol that above 45% alcohol,
mm-hmm.
like in liquors, they're not allowed to get in the country.
Okay.
So the ones that are over 45 are illegal, kind of.
Right, but if you're like, what if they make it at home, like moonshine?
If nobody's gonna know, nobody's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. So I feel like that's kind of the thing. It's the kind of like, we don't see it, we won't talk about it.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no
advertising ban on it.
Yeah.
Or sponsorship.
Or regulations on sponsorship or promotions. Basically, have you seen promotions going around in Rwanda for alcohol?
Yeah, all events prepared by alcohol.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Same in.
It's not the same in all countries.
No.
Really?
No. It is in South America.
Yeah.
But here, like in Israel, like for example, beers can promote events, but you won't be seeing like tequila.
Yeah.
Promoting an event.
But like Heineken and other things.
Yeah,
like,
but beers also. Because beers aren't high in alcohol concentration.
Yeah.
Oh, also it's it's beer. It's beer that
it's always beer.
Yeah, it's even in my country the ones that does advertisement, it's beer.
No, in Venezuela, rum advertises a lot. There's a rugby team owned by a rum company.
Oh,
That's actually pretty interesting. But
we already talked about it in the Rum episode.
We did.
So we'll check it out.
Yes. Data does suggest that there should be some sort of action that takes place in Rwanda to help the country with its alcohol abuse. But, you know, the
it's
data...
not gonna happen.
Yeah, data and the actual realism of what's happening around. So tell us the first time that you found out about how banana alcohol is made.
Yeah. I didn't know that drinking was like something big until you guys said it, because it's something that is so normal in my country, and it's like it's in the culture. So, but I didn't know how it was meant. So, most drink alcohol is like the local beer alcohol, which is like urugauka. So I didn't know how it was made until I went.
I love how Kado pronounces things, because I'm just like, okay, he said something and I don't understand, but okay.
You wouldn't. I wouldn't know if I didn't speak my language. So basically, it's like they take like bananas and they smash it until the juice come out. And then they take the juice out and they mix it with the sorghum, if I'm not wrong, which is like seeds that like kind of make like it more alcoholic. So something that is sweet. And that, and you keep it in a hot place like for a long time, like couple
of days.
Yeah, they
brew it.
So, which is like how also like how wine they like also produce. You keep them in a hot place, and then they
become
you ferment it.
Yes,
but wine is actually in a cold place.
It's in a cold place.
Yeah,
in
basement.
Not cold.
Sorry, it's in
not
the basement.
Cold. Dark. Not necessarily
dark.
Cold.
Like so, it's the same thing. They put it in
dark
a corner. Cover it like for a few days, and then after a few days, the more you let it there, the more it becomes stronger.
So you brew and then you ferment it, right?
Yeah. So it's so popular and so expensive, because nowadays, like, they use it for big events and all that. And
it's
beers.
Expensive?
Yeah, it's quite expensive, actually. Like, if you want a good quality that is well made and sweet, because sometimes they can put in honey to make it sweet, like, kind of.
Even sweeter?
Yeah, even sweeter. They have, like, varieties of them according to what they put in. And this thing, people go crazy on it. It's like a good spy type of alcohol.
I want to try it. I
should.
So, as long as it's a banana beer, like my face changed. I just want to try it.
I do want to try it because it seems interesting. But now I have a question kind of about culture. Mm. And I'll edit this podcast to make sense eventually. Mm. It's expensive, but you said people drink it everywhere. Do you think people in Rwanda would rather drink than like have money for food?
No, I wouldn't say that, because you wouldn't faint. alcohol, most of the time, they're, like, strong. But alcohol is, like, an extra after, like, basic need. So the people just drink after, like, work most of the time, like, in the evening. That's when you will see. It's so hard to see people, like, drinking at work, like, in the middle of the day. But at night,
right.
At night, though, until, like, 11, yeah.
No, because... you haven't heard our episode, because I don't think it's come out by the point we recorded this, but I talked about how in Bolivia people would rather kind of
really
drink. Yeah, people like the drinking culture
and
the addiction in Bolivia can get you to like suicide by alcohol.
No way.
And in Venezuela, people, there's like the stereotypes that these people are actually drunk while working.
No way.
There's a specific group of workers that are drunk while working. And there's a big stereotype about it. That's why no one likes construction workers.
That's what happens also in Bolivia. Like, mine workers get drunk before they go into the mine. So that's why I'm asking, like, how is it in comparison? Because, like,
it's, like, a big taboo, and, like, the people there are so strict. So they just drink at night.
Right. Yeah. Do you often see people drinking, like, the streets and stuff, or is it...
It's not street, but we have this thing, it's, like, liquor store. I don't know if you know it, but they're different from here, because liquor store here and other countries, you just go buy and leave.
Yeah.
So, liquor stores back home, which is, like, it became so popular after coronavirus, but even before. So, we're, like, in every neighborhood, there's, like, a liquor store, like, every kind of liquor, beers, and all that.
And then, they buy the cases and sit on them
outside
of it. Yeah. Outside,
they'll have like plastic chairs. At night, it's like a common thing, plastic chairs.
Yeah, it's more like a bar than a liquor store.
Yeah, but like there's no space of a bar. It's just
and there's no service. And
there's no service. You just buy it and it's
cheaper.
You just
buy and drink.
And because it's liquor store, it's cheaper. So
yeah, exactly.
That's what people do like every evening. And they're like a place in my country which was a road, and they just like closed it and they made it like car free zone, and it's just like bars just put chairs there at night.
Oh wow,
that's amazing.
Yeah, and there's like a DJ. It's like Purim, you know how
yeah,
Purim
yeah,
was here,
like parties yeah. on the street.
Yeah,
kind
so
of thing.
They closed the road and the whole thing is just become like a bar.
There's actually a street like that in Jerusalem, by the way. So tell, do you have any like fun, interesting drinking
wait,
stories?
There is a story I do want to know. Why did you stop drinking?
That was the story he was going to tell us
so
anyway.
So you remember the loco beer that I told you guys?
Yes, yes. We do.
That's what made me stop. So
tell us the story.
You know when you're young, like you're as curious about trying alcohol. So I was around like 10, you know?
Oh, wow.
I was really, really young. That's why I stopped actually, you know?
Yeah.
So like... there was a wedding at home, you know.
Wait, you were 10. Let me just say, do not drink when you're underage.
Don't. Yeah, it was don't. A bad choice, and I regret it ever since. So I was like 10. There was a wedding at home. You know, when there's a wedding, everybody's busy trying to do something. And yeah. I was just there. I was like 10, so nobody really did care. So soft drinks ran out, like, at the wedding because, like, it was late at night. And then there was alcohol, and nobody's was watching the local beer, and it was, like, in a big container. And then I started, like, drinking it a lot, like, pinch drinking it because nobody was there.
Yeah.
I looked fine at that point until I went out and everybody realized, like, oh, my God, why didn't you look after Kado? And then I was super drunk, super. I don't remember anything about that night.
It makes sense.
The aftermath is the worst. In the morning, I was throwing up and they had to take me to the hospital.
Super hungover, super dehydrated.
I got like alcohol.
Well, he was 10. He could have had alcohol poisoning.
Yeah,
I got alcohol poisoning at 10. And I was went to the hospital to like the hospital like the next day for 10 years. It was my sister's wedding, by the way.
Is there pictures of it in your sister's wedding album?
I was lost because I was drinking. I was nowhere to be finding like anywhere, you know.
Can you imagine the pictures of Kado like in the wedding album of Kado puking the next day and her sister just thumbs up next to it?
It was so funny.
That would be me.
I was there all morning, like at the hospital, and then the headache.
Did they have to pump your stomach? No.
No, they didn't, because I was throwing up. But they didn't need that. They didn't need that. I was like going crazy, throwing up and feeding food so like my stomach won't be empty.
Yeah.
And then after that day, I never drank. And funny thing, at 19, I was a bartender, like for beers, not cocktails, and still didn't drink. 2 years of experience bartending at the hostel. Didn't drink because of that nightmare. Still now, 23. Not gonna drink.
I can definitely imagine a little 10-year-old Kado.
It was a nightmare.
Did it at least taste good? Going in, not going out?
Well, the local beer was like... that beer, of it's like sweet because it's made out of banana. So you just keep drinking it. And I don't know how, but alcohol will never make you full, you know? You just keep drinking and you don't feel like... If you're drinking water, for example, I know this sounds stupid because I don't drink, so it sounds weird. When you're drinking like beer, you don't feel like I'm full, you know, like when you're drinking like a drink.
Beer, it really depends.
No. It really depends.
I think beer, because it's carbonated, you kind of feel it a bit more.
Yeah, but with wheat beer, in my opinion, people feel the other way around. In my opinion, it feels lighter. It fills you up way less and you can drink way more.
Maybe. I feel like it really depends on like the carbonation of the drink.
Yeah.
Because the more carbonated your drink is, obviously you're gonna feel fuller.
Yeah. So basically, I knocked down 5 liters of beer.
5?
I was just there alone for hours.
Wait, I'm sorry. Kado's a tall guy. How tall were you?
Well,
when you were 10?
I remember. I was like in. That's true. I remember I was like in 5th grade somewhere around
Kado,
there.
Were you vegan at that point?
No.
Okay.
I became vegan recently.
So at least he could have some good meat to bring it all.
Yeah. But alcohol poisoning was so bad next morning. I can't forget that day.
That you did forget the night.
I forget the night. People would tell me like crazy stories. I was like, oh my God. But I would look like older because I grew taller like when I was younger. So I looked like a grown. I didn't look like a kid. Otherwise, everybody would have been.
How did your sister feel that you got drunk at her wedding?
She went to the honeymoon. Probably didn't know.
I would have been happy my younger brother drank at
my
wedding.
Not if he was 10.
Not if he was 10, but again, he didn't look 10.
Alan.
Alan, he was younger than both of us.
True. And again, 5 liters, a 10-year-old kid.
Yeah, you know, that's the worst.
I was in the hospital, and like, because it was a party, so every in the morning, even though I was in a hospital, everybody else was hungover.
Was yeah. everybody else still partying?
Yeah, there was still party. Like, oh, we had enough to party of the following day. And there's this kid who's drunk.
There's this kid drunk at the hospital. What about your parents? Were they your parents mad?
They weren't mad because...
Because it's so like, normal.
Yeah, no, they felt like it's their, it was their responsibility to look after me. And to be honest, I was just bored. I was like, where's the soft drink? There's no soft drink. Alcohol. I was like,
fuck it, that's I'll drink 5 liters.
And he was like, if there's any...
That's as good as reason as any other to
be. Yeah, if there's anybody to blame, it was the elder who were wrong, not me.
I mean, yeah, you were a 10-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Well, Kado, I want to thank you for being with us today in this episode.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, because we like finding all these random alcohols that you usually don't hear about.
Yeah, it was really interesting. We learned a lot. We laughed a lot.
We did.
I did learn also my statistics of my country. Apparently, we drink a lot.
Kado's going to go back to change around the people. Look out for him. Anyway, so thank you guys for listening. This was Bottoms Up here in Audioversity, the voice of Reichman University. I'm Shuri.
And I'm Alan.
Drink responsibly.
Cheers.